Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's really great to see you all. If you remember last week, we began thinking really about who is Jesus from the beginning of Mark's Gospel. And that's what I want us to think about again this morning. Who is Jesus? And last week we saw that in the Gospel of Mark, he puts it out there, I guess, from the beginning. At the very beginning, he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark wants his readers to see that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is from God, that he is God. We could divide Mark up into kind of four chunks or sections. There's the introduction, which we looked at last week. Then there are Jesus' works, all the things he did when he was on earth. And then his journey to Jerusalem and his death and resurrection. The introduction sets out who Jesus is, the Son of God. And the following section then provides evidence that he is the Son of God. This morning we're going to look at a miracle of Jesus, which is taken from the second section of Mark, Jesus' works, which provides evidence for us that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. It is weighing up evidence that leads us to truth. I was reading the life story of a High Court judge, Jeremy Cook, and how he came to have faith in Jesus Christ. And being in law, he made the comparison that as law is based on the premise that truth is discoverable from evidence, and that's what he spends his life doing, hearing evidence and finding truth. So he says, as in law, truth is discoverable from evidence, so faith is what you believe to be true, having followed where the evidence leads. So this morning, I want us to think about this miracle as evidence and see where that leads us. The miracle we are going to look at this morning is found in Mark chapter 6, and it's quite a well-known miracle. It's the feeding of the 5,000. It's the only miracle that all four Gospels record. So if you have a Bible, please look that up in Mark chapter 6. We begin at verse 30, or the words will be on the screen, so please do follow along. So Mark chapter 6, and I'm beginning to read at verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, that is Jesus, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So we see the setting here. The apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had been doing and teaching. It follows on from earlier in the chapter. Jesus sent his followers out. So they were out proclaiming the message of the kingdom that we thought about from chapter 1:15, repent and believe in the gospel. So these followers, they had been out, and now they have returned to report back to Jesus on all that had been happening. And Jesus said to them, you know, you should take some time out. You've been busy, probably tired, and you need some time out. I mean, even the best of us need time out for rest and rejuvenation. And we're told that there were so many people coming and going that his followers hadn't even a minute to get something to eat. So it seemed wise to take time out. So they got in a boat and went to a desolate place where it would be quiet, where they wouldn't be disturbed. But the crowd saw them going, and they went on foot and got there ahead of them. The Gospel of John tells us that the crowd followed because they had saw Jesus healing the sick. And then when Jesus and the disciples arrived and saw the crowd, we read that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. One writer here refers to the desperate situation that human sheep face without a shepherd. He says, there are questions but no answers. There's distress but no relief. Anguish of conscience but no deliverance. Tears but no consolation. Sin but no forgiveness. In other words, people who we might say they're a bit lost in life. You know, you've many questions, perhaps about some of the deeper things in life, but you just can't find any satisfactory answers. You have a hunger for something more, so some deeper kind of satisfaction, but you don't even really know what you're hungry for. Or perhaps you've tried filling this hunger through various means, be it work, relationships, or something else, but these have failed. Or perhaps you're just breezing along. You haven't given much thought to the deeper things in life, such as why am I here, or what is my purpose, or life after death, or who is God. Maybe you're lost and hungry and don't even realize. The Bible talks quite a bit about this shepherd and sheep imagery that we see here. One of the well-known Psalms, Psalm 23, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another psalm, Psalm 78, it refers back to a time where God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt through the shepherd Moses. And then David, who wrote many of the psalms, the greatest king, was a shepherd. But despite all the leaders that God gave his people, none were able to adequately care for God's people. None were able to provide what they really needed. In Ezekiel 34, God promised that he himself would come as a shepherd and care for his people and provide what they really need. Back to the beginning of Mark, we saw last week at the beginning of Mark, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's from God. He is God. And Jesus refers to himself as a shepherd in John 10. And here we see Jesus has compassion on these lost sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them undoubtedly about the kingdom of God. You see, that these people, their greatest need is spiritual. And Jesus has come to teach them that he is the answer to that greatest need. Jesus is the shepherd who would care for and provide for their deepest needs. I mean, perhaps initially they came for healing from sickness, And Jesus is able to heal, and he does for many, but he is able to meet a much deeper need. Well, as time went on, Jesus' disciples, they came to him and said, "Look, it's getting late, and it's time that we sent these people on their way so they could get something to eat." But Jesus' answer was quite surprising to them, really. He said, "You give them something to eat." Now, we saw in the last verse there were 5,000 men. So potentially there could have been 10,000, even 15,000, possibly even more people to feed. And his disciples' response, they say, basically, "Do you really expect us to buy food for all these people? I mean, think how much it's going to cost for a start." And Jesus said to them, "Well, see what you have here." So they got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when Jesus saw what was there then, he commanded the people to sit in groups of 50s and 100s so that the people could be fed. And we read in verse 41, "Taking the loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they divided the 2 fish among them all." And if we read on again, we see they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of fish. See, Jesus did something here much greater than his followers thought was possible. He fed these people until they were satisfied and there was an abundance left over. He took 5 loaves, perhaps something similar to pita bread that we would eat, 5 loaves with 2 small fish, and fed them to thousands of people. Some try to say that the miracle here was, it was all the people there sharing their food, so it was a miracle of kindness. But that's clearly not what Mark tells us. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and those 5 loaves and 2 fish were fed to the people until they were full with plenty to spare. Jesus did something much greater than his followers thought was possible. And this miracle tells us something much greater than just merely feeding and meeting physical hunger. I've referred to John's gospel a few times already, and I want to turn to there now. If we turn there, it's helpful for us in understanding. John makes this clearer for us. And in John's gospel, we see that after this incident, Jesus moved on, but the crowd again followed him. They hadn't really understood the deeper significance of the miracle. They had just saw that Jesus was simply filling their stomachs. And yes, partly he was. But Jesus said to the crowd in John chapter 6, he says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Son of Man, just another title for Jesus. And Jesus then referred to manna. That was bread that God provided for his people many years ago when they were in the wilderness, after they escaped from Egypt, which again I referred to earlier. And Jesus goes on, he says that the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Furthermore, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus is making it clear that his primary purpose in coming to earth was to save sinners. When he says he is giving his flesh, he is pointing to the cross when he would die to take the punishment for our sin in place of us, but rise from the dead 3 days later to offer forgiveness of sins and life forevermore. And so to eat of this bread, to feed on Christ, which sounds like a strange thing to say, is simply to receive by faith what he has done for us. It is to believe who he is and what he has done for us on the cross and receive eternal life. The lost sheep can be found. They can know their way in life. To go back to the quote from earlier, where there are questions to life and meaning and purpose, they can have answers. They can have relief from distress. They can have consolation. They can have forgiveness of sins. They can have deliverance. And Jesus has drawn a contrast here between material bread that feeds our stomachs and satisfies us for a short time. I mean, even the bread that God provided in the wilderness that also came in a miraculous way could not stop the people from being hungry again. But Jesus, as the bread of heaven, will meet our deepest hunger, the deepest longing of our souls. And as we read, as Jesus is the bread that endures to eternal life, the bread that lasts, so the life he gives us will last, will be eternal life. Do you know this morning that you have a spiritual need? Do you know that you have sin and need forgiveness from that sin? Do you know your greatest need is not physical or psychological or financial or some other need? Your greatest need is spiritual. And Jesus is the only one who can meet that need. I said to you, I wanted you to think about this miracle as evidence. So where does the evidence lead? Well, Mark claims Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the evidence we have considered this morning is this miracle of feeding the 5,000 plus. Now, we've no reason to doubt the accuracy of these accounts. If you're interested or want to read more about that, come and see me after. But the evidence Mark gives us is that Jesus fed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus clearly is no ordinary man. So the only logical step from the evidence that we have been given is to say that, yes, Mark's claim is true. Jesus is the Son of God. And the only logical step from that is to trust him when he tells us what we most need and that he provides what we most need, forgiveness of sins and what our inner being long for, a life of abundance and satisfaction forevermore. I heard just over the holidays there of someone who has rejected God because God hasn't given them something that they really wanted. And you can fill in that blank for yourself, be it a certain job, a particular relationship, or something else that you feel you really perhaps want God to give you, but because he hasn't, in a sense, you reject him. But the question I ask is, why would we want a God who can give us what we want, like some sort of genie? Well, why do we want a God who we tell him what is best for us? See, I want the confidence of a God who is in control, not me. I want a God who can miraculously feed thousands of people, of a God who knows what is best for me, of a God who tells me what my deepest need is, and is able to meet that need. So I simply ask you again, do you know you have a spiritual need? Do you know Jesus alone can meet that need? Where does the evidence lead you this morning? I trust the evidence leads you to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, who can meet your deepest need. Let's pray together. Our Father, we simply ask that you would help us to see Jesus for who he really is, that you would help us to see our sin and to know that Jesus is the only one who can meet that greatest and deepest need and greatest and deepest longing. And we ask in his name. Amen.